quite a bit to you, but skip over some things and then bring to your attention the significance of this one feast joined to another that is kept by Josiah. You will understand that in chapter 34, the book of the Lord was found in the temple of God. And when Josiah hears this book read to him, even though he had been diligent in reforming Israel, he understands the additional sins that his nation has been guilty of. And he more assiduously determines to stamp out evil. And not only to do and refrain from doing what God has told them not to do, but positively to do the things that God instructed. And that is why he says in 2 Chronicles 35, verse 1, this: "And Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem." Who keeps a Passover? Because the children of Israel are instructed to keep the Passover. You'll find it over and over and over again that they are instructed to keep the Passover. And so, having read that, Josiah kept a Passover unto the Lord in Jerusalem. And they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the first month. Let me tell you the precise time when this was sacrificed, because the Passover was kept the 14th day of the first month, 3 o'clock in the afternoon to 6 o'clock, which describes between the two evenings. So it was just about at the completion of the 14th day, and there were 3 hours between the two evenings, between 3 and 6, when the Passover was to be killed. Then immediately after that, notice, just 3 hours, immediately after that, at the 6th hour, is the 15th day, and another feast begins, the Feast of Unleavened Bread. So keep that in mind. Look at it now. Verse 2. "And he set the priests in their offices and encouraged them to the service of the house of the Lord. And he said unto the Levites that taught all Israel that were holy unto the Lord," and so forth and so on. So notice, what is so remarkable is that while Josiah is reading and seeing what God wants him to do, there are special ones that have been appointed by God to go and teach the people what they ought to do. Now, look at verse 5. "According to David and Solomon, they are to stand in the holy place according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of your brethren, the children of the people." 6. "And kill the Passover, and sanctify yourselves, and prepare for your brethren to do according to the word of the Lord by Moses." That's why I know that he read in Exodus 12 and 13 and in Numbers chapter 9 about the Passover. All right. It says, "Do according to the word of the Lord by Moses." Another little explanation. They are to kill the Passover and sanctify themselves. I would have thought that they would sanctify themselves and then kill the Passover. But they already had sanctified themselves here. And after they killed the Passover, they would sanctify themselves by washing the blood off their hands. There was the labor. And every time an offering was sacrificed, afterwards they had to sanctify themselves. What is so remarkable is this, that whenever the priest was to go into the holy place, he washed at the laver before he went in. And then when he came out of the holy place, he washed at the laver before he returned to the altar a burnt offering. So there was a continual sanctifying. There was the once for all sanctifying that Moses inaugurated and set aside Aaron and his sons, but then there are these other sanctifications as well. All right. Look at verse 7. And Josiah gave the children of the people of the flock lambs and kids, all of them for the Passover offerings, and to all that were present, to the number of 30,000, and 3,000 bullocks. These were of the king's substance. Now, the first offerings, the small offerings, the lambs, the kids of the goats, they are for the Passover. But the 1,000 bullocks are for other offerings. I told you that immediately after the Passover, the first of the sixth hour, then began the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and they were to eat their meals with unleavened bread, and then other offerings were offered, and among these, the bullocks could be offered. All right, now, verse 8, and the princes gave for a freewill offering unto the people, to the priests, and then you'll find, look down at verse 9, the chief of the Levites gave unto the Levites. So you have those that have an abundance giving to those that have not. Keep that in mind. Verse 10. So the service was prepared, and the priests stood in their place, and the Levites by their courses according to the king's commandment. And they killed the Passover, and the priests sprinkled the blood which they received of their hands, and the Levites played them, and they removed the burnt offering, that they might give them according to the divisions of the fathers' houses of the children of the people, to offer unto the Lord, as it is written in the book of Moses. And so did they with oxen, and they roasted the Passover with fire, according to the ordinance. And the holy offerings boiled they in pots and in cauldrons and in pans, and carried them quickly to all the children of the people. If I mistake not, we have what goes on at the Passover and for the Passover, but also the attending ceremony that goes on for the Feast of Unleavened Bread. How brief is the Passover? The Feast of Unleavened Bread goes on for 7 days. And it did not mean that they only ate unleavened bread. It meant that when they ate other food, they could only eat it with unleavened bread. So both of these things are going on. And by a comparison of the rituals as found in Exodus 12 and 13 and Numbers 28 and Deuteronomy 16, you can piece together everything that was going on. All right. Look now at verse 15. And the singers, the sons of Asaph, were in their place, according to the commandment of David, and Asaph and Heman and Jeduthun, the king's seer. And the porters were at every gate. They needed not to depart from their service, for their brethren, the Levites, prepared for them. Marvelous cooperation. Verse 16. So all the service of the Lord was prepared the same day to keep the Passover and to offer burnt offerings upon the altar of the Lord according to the commandment of King Josiah. And the children of Israel that were present kept the Passover at that time and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. Do you see why I say that what we've read is a setting forth of what took place at both of these feasts, the Feast of the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Why? Because it says in verse 17, they kept the Passover and the Feast of Unleavened Bread 7 days. And you have to read through and see what part is associated with the Passover and what is associated with the Feast of Unleavened Bread. Now verse 18, and there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept, and the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present, and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. In the 18th year of the reign of Josiah was this Passover kept. Now, let's pause and have a word of prayer, and then maybe we'll read about Pharaoh Necho. We'll just see how things go as we consider these details about Passover. Let's pray. Our Father, we thank you for the fascination of the Word of God. How dead, how meaningless is this ritual to the natural man? How thrilling is it to the child of God? Thou hast told us that both Moses and David received directly from the Lord the pattern of the tabernacle, the pattern of the temple, and all the ritual associated with the keeping of the feasts. We thank you for this, our God. We would be tempted to set aside such portions that we've read tonight, the meticulous details that it contains, unless it were of thee, unless all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable. So help us by thy Spirit to see the significance of these things. We confess our sin. Be faithful and just to forgive and cleanse, and by thy Spirit empower and teach hearts and work things together for good. We ask in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. What is so remarkable is this. I have told you that in Exodus 12, the first Passover was kept. Then, in Numbers chapter 9, a year to the day was the second Passover kept. And then, in Joshua chapter 5, 40 years later, was another Passover kept. Then, we only read of the next Passover being in the days of Hezekiah. You'll find that in 2 Chronicles 30. And then you read of this great Passover in the days of Josiah, but we do not read of any of the Passovers for all those hundreds of years other than these. But we know that they were kept because there is comparison. There were no Passovers kept like unto Josiah's in the days, and it mentions the kings, or in the times of the judges. So, the Passover was kept, but there is a comparison of the Passovers that were kept by the children of Israel. As in our case, we who remember the Lord, we can think of certain remembrance meetings that were so significant they can never be forgotten. And then we can think of times when we came out and we remembered the Lord, but no great impression was made upon us, but still we kept the Lord. And some of them we would tell about when the brethren's lips were filled with praises, and they exalted the Lord so highly, when everything seemed to fit together. We can remember such remembrance meetings. And in the case of Josiah, they compared this Passover with the other Passovers, the Passover of Hezekiah, and then the Passovers of the other kings that are not recorded in God's Word, but it says there was no Passover like unto it. So do not be afraid to say that one time that you remember the Lord is more significant than another. Do not be afraid to say that one servant of God is greater than another, because the Lord himself says, of those born of women, there has not arisen a greater than John the Baptist. And the scripture continually speaks of men, chief men among the brethren, chief times when the instructions given to us by God are more significant to us, more precious to us than it others. And it causes us to long for meetings to constantly be of the highest order, and to be able to say, there was no meeting like unto this Passover in the days of Josiah. There was no remembrance in the lifetime of the saints like unto that remembrance
meeting.
Now, I compare this Passover with the Lord's Supper because we no longer keep the Passover as the Savior did. You'll find that just before he died, he said, "With desire have I desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. And then he inaugurated, he established the Lord's Supper, and that supersedes the Passover. But they were similar inasmuch as both are remembrance meetings. I will show you that now. I have time to turn back and explain things. So turn to Exodus 12. Remember, you are in 2 Chronicles 35. But in Exodus 12, I want to read two words to you. In chapter 12, look at verse 13. And I will tell you specifically what the Passover means and its purpose. 12:13 of Exodus. "And the blood shall be to you for a token upon the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And there shall no plague be upon you to destroy you when I smite the land of Egypt." All right, look at verse 23. "For the Lord will pass through to smite the Egyptians, and when he seeth the blood upon the lintel and on the two side posts, the Lord will pass over the door and will not permit the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you." Now, that's the way they were killed. The destroyer came in and smote them. So by comparing these two portions, we see that God passed over the houses of the children of Israel that had the blood on the side posts and the lintel, and God passed over them, and he would not permit the destroyer to come in unto your houses to smite you. Think of that horrible night when they're in their houses, awake or asleep, and the destroyer came in and smote them. Every firstborn in the land of Egypt was smitten, and no one could keep that destroyer from coming in and wreaking death upon the firstborn that inhabited that house unless blood was seen. Now, I want you to understand what the word Passover means. It means passing over in sparing mercy. "I will pass over you in sparing mercy." You say, how is it that you get those additional words? Because the word pasach, which is passed over, pasach, it is translated again and again, spare. God said, as a man would spare his only son. It means instead of rending the judgment that should have been taken, it said, I will spare. So here is God, and in passing over, he passes over in sparing mercy. That is the meaning of the Passover. Now this, look at verse 14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial, and you shall keep it a feast to the Lord. Throughout your generations, you shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever." The word memorial. If you ask, well, what is a memorial? I'm going to show you the verse of Scripture that tells you what a memorial is. It's most important. So turn to Numbers 5 now. Numbers 5, God says, this is a memorial. Well, what does he mean by memorial? I will show you in Numbers chapter 5. In speaking of another offering, look at verse 15. It says, "Then shall a man bring his wife unto the priest, and shall bring her oblation for her, the tenth part an ephah of barley meal. And he shall pour no oil upon it, nor put frankincense thereon. For it is a meal offering of jealousy, a meal offering of memorial, bringing iniquity to remembrance." Here is a memorial And a memorial is bringing to remembrance. A memorial, you shall offer it a memorial of bringing to remembrance. Never forget that. So when the Lord Jesus says, this do in remembrance of me, he wants to be brought to remembrance, his person and his work in relation to us and his death on the cross. Now, in Exodus 12, it says, this day shall be unto you for a memorial. You shall keep it a feast unto the Lord. It is a bringing to remembrance the night that God passed over in sparing mercy the houses of the children of Israel when he smote the Egyptians. Now, you'll see that, and I'll show you how this is what is to be remembered because of what God tells us. Look now in chapter 12 at verse 26. And it shall come to pass, when your children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? That you shall say, it is the sacrifice of the Lord's Passover, who passed over the houses of the children of Israel in Egypt, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. Do you see what they are to have brought to remembrance? It is the Lord's passing over in sparing mercy, who passed over our houses in sparing mercy, the houses of the children of Israel, when he smote the Egyptians and delivered our houses. And so, it is a memorial of bringing to remembrance what? The great mercy, the sparing deliverance that God bestowed upon the children of Israel. And God says, I want you to remember this. Now, in like manner, that is why I compare it to the Lord's Supper, because that blood of the Lamb is typical of the same Lamb when we have the cup, the fruit of the vine. He said, this is my blood of the new covenant. Here is the blood that when God looked upon it, he would pass over in sparing mercy the houses of the children of Israel. So, something is to be brought to remembrance. This do, our Savior said, in remembrance of me, a bringing to remembrance of my love for you, my death for you. And then, in remembrance of me, not just my death, but in remembrance of me, and we remember who he was. Jesus, knowing that he came out from the Father into the world, and he was going to go from the world back to the Father, remembering all of these glorious things about Christ, his mercy, his death, his resurrection, the promise of his coming again. Both of the feasts are memorials. And God says, I want these memorials kept. And this. Why the Passover is so significant is this. It says in 1 Corinthians 5, Christ, our Passover, hath been sacrificed for us. You say, Christ, our Passover? Why, yes. Every typical ordinance, every feast has a spiritual significance. And just as Christ died for the Israelites, so the Lord Jesus died for us. Christ, our Passover, hath been sacrificed. Now, I bring that scripture to your attention to show you what else is added, how the two feasts are inseparable. He said, therefore, let us keep the feast of unleavened bread. Let us keep the feast without leaven. There was no such thing as keeping the Passover and refraining from the feast of unleavened bread. Because the Passover is what Christ did for us. And the feast of unleavened bread is the life of sinlessness we are to live for God. And there are some who say, oh yes, Christ, my Passover, yes. Well, do you keep the feast of unleavened bread? And if you do not keep a life of holiness, of purity, of a separation from evil, which is pictured by that leaven, then you are not completing the ordinances that God gave Israel to be maintained throughout your generations, every year to years. So you say, well then, those Israelites who could point to the house in which they resided the night the destroyer came through, they could say, I was in that house, but God passed over me, because there was blood on the doorpost and on the lintel. You tell people about that. I wonder if that same man would say, and beginning the next day, I kept the feast of unleavened bread for 7 days. Now, please notice that the Passover and also the atonement, the Day of Atonement, one-day feasts, which means something that happened once for all, never to occur again. But you have some feasts that go on for 7 days, and that is something that is continual. That is something that is complete. That is something that is to last indefinitely. That's what is pictured and signified by the Feast of Unleavened Bread for 7 days. So we are not spasmodically to live for God, but we are to live for God forever. Just like it says, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. And someone says, to endure to the end, but how long do you think God wants you to endure? For 6 months, 6 years? Of course, we've been reading in Hebrews, and God willing, I will emphasize it this Wednesday night, that if we hold fast our confidence, the confession that we make in Christ unto the end, this is what God expects. So please notice that this memorial that God said was to be kept throughout their generations in its season from year to year was of bringing to remembrance the things that God did for the nation of Israel. And while I'm here, I'd just as soon show you the other things that interpret what they are to remember. All right. Notice I told you in chapter 12 at verse 24, when the children shall say unto you, what mean you by this service? Then an explanation is given. Look in chapter 13 of Exodus, verse 8. And thou shalt tell thy son in that day, saying, it is because of that which the Lord did for me when I came forth out of Egypt. And it shall be a sign unto thee upon thy hand and for a memorial between thine eyes, that the law of the Lord may be in thy mouth. For with a strong hand hath the Lord brought thee out of Egypt. Thou shalt therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. Here is the memorial, again, of bringing to remembrance. Notice, in chapter 12, when your children shall say unto you, what do you mean by this service? You are to tell them. What is the bringing to remembrance? You are to tell them what is to be remembered. In chapter 13, in that day, you are to tell your son, saying, it is a memorial of bringing to remembrance. All right, look at verse 14. And it shall be, when thy son asketh thee in time to come, saying, what is this that thou shalt say unto him? By strength of hand the Lord brought us out from Egypt, from the house of bondage. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh would hardly let us go, that the Lord slew all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both the firstborn of man and the firstborn of beast. Therefore I sacrifice to the Lord all that openeth the womb, being males, but all the firstborn of my sons I redeem. And it shall be for a sign upon thy hand, and for frontage between thine eyes. For by strength of hand the Lord brought us forth out of Egypt. You see how this is explained again and again and again. Why? Because it is a memorial, and you are to be able to bring to mind, recall, and tell others the significance of the Passover. And you and I are to be able to tell others the significance of the Lord's Supper, and how the Passover is a picture of the death of Christ on the cross, and how the Lord's Supper is a picture of the death of Christ on the cross and his resurrection from the dead. These are the reasons that God says feasts are to be kept. All right, now turn back to 2 Chronicles 35, and let's see a little bit more about there. Look at verse 18. And there was no Passover like to that kept in Israel from the days of Samuel the prophet, neither did any of the kings of Israel keep such a Passover as Josiah kept. And the priests and the Levites and all Judah and Israel that were present and the inhabitants of Jerusalem. And it tells us the very year of the king in which he was kept, when he was 26 years old. He started reigning when he was 8 years old, and in the 18th year of his reign, which makes him 26 years old, that is when this Passover was kept. So this is the Passover. Now, why was this Passover so much greater than the other Passovers? And it is significant to compare Passovers and for us to compare Lord's Suppers for this reason. In all my life, I never remember being at a Lord's Supper that had wine and unleavened bread as emblems of remembrance. I've been to some meetings where they'd have wine, but they would have leavened bread. I've been to some meetings where they would have unleavened bread, but they would have grape juice. You say, well, how do you know it was wine? Because it says, be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess. You don't get drunk on grape juice. But at the first Lord's Supper, just as there was wine and unleavened bread, I take it since the Savior had said, with desire, I desire to eat this Passover with you, there would have been unleavened bread there on the table. Because immediately at the end of the Passover, they had to eat unleavened bread. So here they are, unleavened bread and the fruit of the vine. Now, I've never complained, but I just wondered how it was that it smelled this way. And I will show you this. Turn back to 2 Chronicles 30. I'm going to show you how, in scripturality, the feast under Josiah, the Passover, was better than the Passover under Hezekiah. It says in verse 15, 2 Chronicles 30, 15, then they killed the Passover on the 14th day of the second month. When is the Passover supposed to be kept? You say the 14th day of the first month. Yes. And if, because of some impediment, it can't be kept at the proper time, Numbers 9 tells us it can be kept the 14th day of the second month. So, in Hezekiah's day, it was kept, but not the precise time. And also, I'll show you in 2 Chronicles chapter 30, let's look at verse 10, 2 Chronicles 30, 10. So the people passed from city to city throughout the country of Ephraim and Manasseh, even unto Zebulun. But they laughed them to scorn and mocked them. Nevertheless, certain men of Asher and Manasseh and Zebulun humbled themselves and came to Jerusalem. You see how few paid any attention to the keeping of Hezekiah's Passover? But still, some did, and it was observed. But the numbers, numerically, Josiah's Passover surpassed that of the Passover in Hezekiah's day. All right. And not only so, but there was a liberality. Here are king and prince and priests and Levites all sharing and giving unto others of the abundance that they had personally. Not only so, but you will find that the word is purifiedly. In a purified manner, they kept the Passover. That made it superior. I will show you that now in 2 Chronicles 30. And listen to how Hezekiah had to get by. He says in verse 18, 2 Chronicles 30, 18, for a multitude of the people, even many of Ephraim and Manasseh, Issachar and Zebulun, had not cleansed themselves, yet did they eat the Passover otherwise than it is written. For Hezekiah had prayed for them, saying, the good Lord pardon every one that set in his heart to seek God the Lord. the God of his fathers, though he be not cleansed, according to the purification of the sanctuary. And the Lord hearkened to Hezekiah and healed the people. You see, all the concessions that had to be made in the Passover that Hezekiah kept. But none of these things were necessary in the days of Josiah. And so we come to some Lord's Supper, and some of us are there, and we may not be cleansed as we should, but we offer up a prayer to God and try to get ourselves straight. So many imperfections. But I'm thankful that God tells me in 2 Chronicles chapter 30 that God in his grace pardons. He answers prayers. And if it had to be perfect, why, how many Lord's Suppers would we keep? But we should strive for that. Each one of us coming with abundance of riches to offer to God. And having so much that we could impart to others of the riches that we have. To be clean when we come. To be scriptural when we come. To have our hearts set upon the Lord and to remember him and worship him in spirit and in truth. So these are some more things I wanted to bring to your attention about Josiah's Passover. Now time is gone. Let's pray. Father, we are thankful that you have ordained such feasts as of those in the days of Israel and now in the days of Christ, the Lord's Supper. We are thankful, our God, for the blessedness this has brought into our lives. We are thankful for remembrance meetings. We are thankful for memorial meetings. Thy Son said, this do in remembrance of me. Father, our hearts rejoice every time there is brought to remembrance our Savior's great love for us. Who he is, what he did, where he is, his coming again. We thank you for all these things, our God, and may we faithfully, according to what is written, keep the Passover of the Lord in the case of Hezekiah and Josiah, but now the Lord's Supper as it's set forth in the Holy Scriptures. So help us, Father, to remember thy Son and to be obedient to thy word, we pray, in the name of Jesus Christ, the Lord. Amen.